Today is April 29th. We're starting with Pasuk Yudalid. But before we started with Yudalid, I just want to go back to one piece that we left out last time, which I thought was interesting. We didn't get to it last time. And that was at the end of Yud Gimel. At the end of Yud Gimel, as the end of Naomi's final attempt to dissuade the daughters-in-law from proceeding forth with her, she ended by saying, Ki yotza vi yad Hashem. And we said that means God has, the poetic way is to say, smitten me, God has hit me. There's an interesting piece here, though, that's worth repeating, which we're worth saying that we didn't say last time. On that pasuk, on that phrase, Ki yotza vi yad Hashem, Rashi says in the name of Rabbi Levi, Kol mokem shenem mar yad Hashem akas deverhu. It refers to dever, destruction, pestilence, one of the makas we have in on Pesach. Uvinyan av lekulam, vihine yad Hashem hoya. It says there in Shmos. The Mishnah in Avos tells us that there are four times in the year in which that there are four times in the year when dever, when there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of pestilence in the world. What are those four times? In the fourth year, using Shemitah cycle, which we read this morning, fourth year, seventh year, Motzei the seventh year, and Motzei Chag every year. What is the connection between those four times and a overwhelming amount of dever? In Revius, the fourth year of the cycle follows the third year, obviously. What's in the third year? Maaser Oni. So Revius, Mipnei Maaser Oni, which was in the Shlishis. Shvius, in the seventh year, because of Maaser Oni, which was in the sixth. So those two are somehow connected to and reflect the Maaser Oni. The third, Motzoi Shvius. What does Motzoi Shvius mean? The first year after Shemitah, Mipnei Peros Shvius. What are Peros Shvius? They're the fruits that came about during the Shemitah year, with which we can do what? No commercial transaction. Who gets them? Anybody can come and get them, but the Aniyim predominantly get them, right? And Motzoi Chag Shebechol Shana V'Shana B'Pnei Gezel Matnas Aniyim. Harei Makas Dever Tluya B'Meniyas Tzedokah L'Aniyim. It seems that Dever, destruction, that she's saying happened to her, Yad Hashem indicates destruction, is connected to what? Meniyas Tzedokah L'Aniyim. Withholding Tzedokah L'Aniyim. Now, who have we learned in this Rus? In this first parak, we're particularly involved in holding back to tzedakah taniyim. Why did they leave in the first place? Elimelech didn't want to help out the poor people in Beis Lachem Yehuda. Umuvin lama nenash beis Elimelech badavar, as Rashi said above, she yotza meres Yisrael luchutz laaretz mipnei tzaras ayin shayisa inu tzara ba'aniyim habayim ledocho lekach nechnash. He was punished for that reason. So Naomi is acknowledging here that she was punished because of the issues in her family with tzedakah, but you weren't. You daughters-in-law, maybe you were, as we would say, kind of in modern times, collateral damaged, right? You weren't you ended up having punishment to you, but not directly as a result of anything you did. It's what my husband did and my sons did. So we have this problem. But this is something that we were missing. And we were missing, we were punished. But this won't happen to you. This won't happen to you. So the midas of rachamim, God should have rachamim on you, and you should be able to go forward. Have a life. Don't stay any longer with me. So that's how the Pasuk Yud Gimel ended. And we said last week, Pasuk Yud Dalet, namely that at that point, Arpa kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, but Rus stays with her. And the last thing we talked about was that they both cried. Why did Rus cry? Arpa was crying because she was saying farewell. Why did Rus cry? She was afraid that Naomi was going to push her away too. She's going to say, you can't stay. I want to be a good Jew. I want to come tachas kanfei Ashkina. So we're going to start now to get really into the question of the conversion, how that works. Okay, so Vatishak Arpa Chavasa, Rus Dafka Boy. It says, we see from Rus how much a person has to stand in a milchoma against Yitzro, against his Yitzhahara. You can never give up. Originally, Arpo stayed firm, right? She and Rus together said, no, we're staying, we're not going back, we're going to go with you, we're going to go forward with you, back home. There's no problem, we're all going to be together. They didn't agree. But now in the end, finally, Arpa couldn't make the challenge. Halo Rus Arpa Shneim Yotzim Beis Moav. They both had left Moav. They left it kind of spiritually when they married Machlon Vechilya, and now they're leaving it for real. Uvikar Akoshishon Nisoyan Omda Beigam Arpa. Initially, Arpa also stood the test, and she also was able to hold back from Naomi beseeching her and treating her leave. But finally, in the end, she couldn't. She couldn't stand the last shovna v'nosai. She didn't stand the test. We know that Rus did, and we said last time Yalkut Shemini brings us to that Saraya, to the fact that you have to try to dissuade a ger who's coming forward three times. And the third time was sufficient to chase Arpa back, but it didn't do that to Rus. Ukshabamra Nami Alel Shishava Elamov Yalakel Elazar. Chazal Omrim She Golias Yatzom Yimenu, that Arpa went back and she had Golias, and all these terrible things happened to her when she returned, and to Rus, all these wonderful things happened. And now we come to the parting of the ways, right? So Arpa leaves, she's gone, and now we come to Pasuk Tesvav. We have Rus cleaving to Naomi, everyone's crying, tearful scene, Arpa leaves, Vatomer. Hine shava yivimtech. We'll call it sister-in-law. Your sister-in-law has left, but she's really her sister as well. This is one of the questions as to whether or not they were already converted. If they had already converted, what would their relationship be?
Sister-in-law.
Right. If anything, sisters-in-law. If they were not yet converted, they were sisters. So it's just a kind of an aside. But va'atomer hine shava yivimtech elamo. The El Eloheha. She has returned to her people and to her gods, to her Avodah Zarah. Now, this brings us to a really difficult question. If, in fact, that they had already converted, how is Naomi saying to who's now Arpa, Rus and Arpa for that matter, Yiddish Amedel, go back to your people, return, go away from Yiddishkeit. How could she do that? How can she do that? You can't. Once a person's conversion is final, except for the Rabbanit in Israel, you can't undo it. They seem to do that pretty regularly now, but you can't undo it. You can't say it's no good. We changed our mind. So why is she doing that? So Chazal tells us that perhaps what she was doing was she was putting them to another test of sincerity. If their gerus was sincere and was for all the right reasons, then they'll withstand the test. They'll say, no, we're going along with you. If they failed that test, then it's mashma that what? Gerus wasn't good in the first place. They weren't really sincere. They didn't accept all the mitzvahs in the beginning. All, as in, not all. All with ayin as well as all. But they didn't accept all the mitzvahs from the beginning. And therefore, she's sending someone back who really wasn't properly converted anyway. So we're going to now be into this debate. We have a long piece here, but into this debate of really what was their status. Because she's saying to her, look, your sister-in-law went back to her people and to her gods. Go, you go too. Shuviach rivimtech. You go also. So she's laying down a challenge. Now in this sefer called the Navi Journey Megillas Rus, which Abba lent to me last week, The author there suggests that when she tells Rus, go along with your sister-in-law, she was saying, go after her, see if you can convince her not to go back to Avodah Zarah. The Al-Sheikh says something similar to that, but it's not clear exactly whether he was saying convince her not to, or, you know, just make sure that she, convince her not to and come back, or at the very least, just make sure that she doesn't. But either way, he says, return, go after your sister-in-law who has returned to her gods and to her people. Okay, the Eben Ezra said all the way along, Zelmer HaKosiv, Shavel HaMav Yelohel, He La'ed, Sheiz Gaidu. If the statement is, she is returning to her gods, that means what? She had left them, and now she's going back to them. We won't talk about whether the conversion was valid or not, but ostensibly there was, according to Eben Ezra, some kind of conversion. Otherwise, she's not returning. If she had stayed and remained a Moabitess idolater all the time, we wouldn't be saying that she's returned. So she's returning. So Eben Ezra is saying what the Zohar Chodesh says, which is, how could it be that Machlon V'chilion would take non-Jewish wives? And it's a different argument. It's a difficult argument because we always face that. Anytime someone does something bad, we would say, how you talking? How could it be that he would do such a bad thing? You know the kind of malitz about Yaakov? Right. It says, Vayetze, how do we know the Torah says that you have to have a covered head? It says, Vayetze Yaakov Asuch HaSada. Yaakov went out in the evening to the fields to daven, and they said, Yaakov Avinu would go out with an uncovered head? So, okay, but Mashma that said that he wouldn't do that, because we know that now, that was, but can we say, Machlon V'chilion, they were the prince of people, they wouldn't do that? But others say that they did. So it's not an answer, really. It's not a complete answer to say they wouldn't do it. It's a kashya from Maisa. They did it. Whether they were Jewish or not, it said, V'yisulim noshim o'av yoyis. Okay, so the Zohar Chodesh and Eben Ezra wants to say like that. Hadavar tomua. It's a problem. Why? The in this guy, how could there be a? I think it should be Naomi anyway. Why? How can Naomi tell him to go back? If it's a true, good, valid conversion, she can't do that. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to say, you used to be a Gentile, go back and be a Gentile again. She can't do that. So how could that be? In the next pasuk, we're going to get the universal acceptance by Rus of the conversion, whether it was good before, whether it was conditional, whether it should have, could have, might have, would have. We get it in the next one. So if she had completely converted before, what sense does that make? Your God will be my God. That's already the case. So how could that be? Shotelech, Helech, and such things. And the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Linyo Neidas, which is the Gerab, all his guy, or Halok, for his guy, Rukai Mishnah Salachman. We seem to say that all those halachas about Gerus were already given before she married Machlon. So this is a problem. And the Zohar Chodesh, which I quoted to you before, it goes even farther and says, Chas v'sholem shenosa Machlon, v'hi nochris. Chas v'sholem, that a great person like Machlon would marry a nochris. I don't know what a great person Machlon was, but the Zohar Chodesh is saying he was a great person, and that he would never marry a non-Jewish. Elok shenosa nizgaido. She must have converted in order for him to get married. V'cheska zemes bailo, omda hiv arpa binyanzeh. Kivan shemesu balein, and they stood by their conversions out of respect to their now deceased husbands. Now that the husbands are deceased, arpa chosmas hachan of a rus omda b'tayma. So now what's happening? Arpa's going back, rus is staying solid. Dichsiv, hine shav yimteich, elama v'elohela. But rus dovkabai. Difficult. If, however, you look at the pashtus of the psukim, it's hard to say from the psukim that they converted already. In fact, how is Rus referred to throughout this entire Megillah? Rus HaMoaviyah. It doesn't say Rus HaGiyoyos, Rus HaYehudiya, Tante Rus. It doesn't say anything like that. They're calling her Rus HaMovia the whole time. It's not. There's no question that when they got married, it said that. Vayisu lahem nashim moavios shem hachas orpa v'shem hashenis rus vayeshu shan keser shanim. And then vayimusu gam shem machlo chilion. So, is there any question that it says they took Moabitess women? And one of them first asked this question: when a person converts, male or female, they are in a way cut off from their prior connection, and they take on a new name. They take on a new name, whether it's the second name Ben Avraham or Bas Avraham, and they take on a new first name. So did Rus have a Jewish name? So they say, yeah, her Jewish name was Rus. Why is her Jewish name Rus? Because now we call people Rus? It said specifically, Vayisu lohem noshi moavios, shem achas arpa, v'shem hashenis Rus. They took Moab by his woman, one of whose name was Rus. So now that's a Jewish name? Why does she have another name? Why does she continue with that name all along? Okay, she kept her name, but the psukim don't really bear that out. The Targum says, the Ovru Agzeris Memer da Hashem, and not Lehem Noshim Nechriim. Now, what do you think that means? They went against God's decrees and took non-Jewish wives. That means they converted? No, it certainly doesn't sound like it. Mim benos Moav. V'chem v'vur v'gemar b'vav b'atches n'shchay v'machl v'chilyon s'reif al-amokim al-shenosu noshim avavios. So the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that they were chayav, misa, machav v'chilyon, for marrying non-Jewish women. Yet we're trying to take the position that Ben Ezra says, no, they were Jewish, ha'itachin that machav v'chilyon, and the Zerah Chodesh, ha'itachin that machav v'chilyon would marry non-Jewish women. So we really have a large dispute. Remember we had a medrash from Rabbi Meir who says they didn't convert them, they didn't have them immersed in the mikvah. We're left with serious questions as to what they were. And v'chein kos of Rashi said above, shelo hoyu l'machon v'chilyon kiddushin bahem, shenachri yus hoyu v'lo nisgayru. Rashi said, but they didn't convert.
We know that the Moabite language was very close to biblical Hebrew. We know from the famous Moabite stone from commotion, from the Melech Moab,
right.
Melech inscription, that was very close. So Rusma and the Orpah could have been their names in Moabite.
Okay, I'm a combo of that. I'm a combo that alone doesn't tell us that they weren't, that doesn't tell us, but it also doesn't tell us one way or the other, right? We can't use that as a point to say that they did convert, and it could be, you're right, that was the Hebraicization of a very close name like that. But the Pasuk says, Yisalem noshim moavios, shem achas orpo, shem hashenis rus. It's hard to say that Pasuk says they're converted. Ubi Yishav Adover, the Bach says on this, Ki vaday chas v'sholem, shemachlon shayat tzadik, yisa isha b'gil yusuf. Okay, yes, it's a kash for mice. A tzaddik wouldn't do such a thing. Okay, but he did. Ella kishinosin is gayer. And then he says, no, there was gayers there. Achein lo yamachlon tzaddik yeser mishim shen shofit Yisrael. O Shlomo HaMelech. Did Shlomo HaMelech marry non-Jewish women? Yes. So he says, it's no worse than Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was known as Yedid HaShem, Shlomo HaMelech, Chalila sheyisu noshim migoyusan elafish and sarech livdok achrayan shemena nosna bebacher mibchura Yisrael b'shul dover acher u'shlom v'shimin the guy noshim noshim l'atzmon. We have to try to figure out what was the motivation as to why they did this. Hayadua shelo chazur el noshim el b'shul dover v'loap bebez nigayrim mala aleihem akosuf kilu hein goyus v'yisurin andim k'moshe kosuf Rambam, as the Rambam says in another place. So it looks like that the Nisuim of Arpa and Rus, ki be'atzman gairos and kidei linase lahem, at best you could say that they made some kind of conversion, which we never would accept today, right? They made some kind of conversion just so they could marry them. Was that a good conversion? It is or it isn't, but there's certainly a question about it.
Did the halacha become maybe more stringent over the years? Like, maybe the halacha we have now are different than what it used to be?
Well, that's certainly an issue. And we say now, especially now, I mean, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot in Eretz Yisrael in particular, a lot of issues about conversions. People are encountering people from other Russians and from other countries, so sometimes the status is not 100% clear. And in Israel, it's a serious question that comes up a lot, and there's a whole issue, a fight between the Rabbanim in Eretz Israel and in America, whether they accept the conversions from America or not. I just saw in one of the blogs or something yesterday a bad situation, it feels like a bad situation, where a Russian Jew, put the Jew in quotes according to them, who was killed in a battle, was buried with all military honors in a Jewish cemetery. And then his father died sometime after of natural causes. But they won't let the father be buried in that cemetery because they say the father they're not Jewish. So the whole family screaming, well, my son was good enough to be in the army, good enough to die in the army, and you allowed him to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, but now you're not going to let the father be buried next to the son. They said, well, this son is buried in special karka that's consecrated for people who fall in the wars, so he wouldn't have been able, the father can't be buried next to him anyway. They said, well, if he was Jewish, would you have let, there's all kinds of issues. So it's possible. I mean, the whole codification of halacha in terms of geiris obviously is much more advanced now.
They also take advantage of the situation. I remember in the early 90s where a Russian fellow converted to Judaism and it came to Israel. It was a valid conversion, and then he demanded that his family be allowed to come to Israel. Well, his family's not Jewish,
right?
But his conversion really was to get the Israeli government to pay for his non-Jewish family to come to Israel.
I mean, we're facing these things all the time. So Maran Agriz says like this: the Hinei Rambam Kosav Habal Bas Ger Toishav Ein Akanoim Pegim Bay. Okay, so if you're involved with the daughter of a Ger Toishav, Kanoim are not Pegim. You don't attack you. Leisa Lidin Kanoim Pegim Bay. How can the Leisa Nami Lav the Lischarim Bom? Vim Ken Yeshon the Machan Vechilian Gairim Bedin Ger Toishav Vlovru Isser Benesiyosav. Maybe they just dealt with them like they were Ger Toshav, resident aliens, I think is Ger Toshav. They kind of recognized them as someone who was permitted to live there, but they had not completely converted. So Nami says, no, you're not going to be a Ger Toshav anymore. There's no husband anymore. You were never converted. You never had anything. So go back. And still, the halacha of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moav v'lo Amis hadn't been resolved yet. So the only reason that you had this kind of conditional geiris that existed while you were married to Machon V'chilion, you too, now it's over with, go back. Okay, it's a different... Right, but they don't have the final status. So you could say this, that they only were connected to them as Ger Toshav, but not as...
Can you be a Ger Toshav if you're not in an area that's completely Jewish, though?
Well, but that's what they're saying here. They're coming back. So you're coming back to Israel. How are you going to be a Ger Toshav? If you're going to be a Ger Toshav and you have this relationship with your husbands, but your husbands are dead. So that's why it's coming up now. So she says, okay, you're done. Go back. Go back to the people. Go back to where you were. So Orpah goes back, and Ruth not. And Ruth says to her, in the next pasuk, don't force me, don't make me go back. Because if you try to make me go back, I'm going to convert anyway. I'm going to accept and live the Jewish life anyway. Better it should be through you than somebody else. But I'm ultimately going to do that.
Where does it say that?
The what?
That if she's going
to... No, one of the Mepharshim says that.
Okay.
The Mepharshim say that if you... Let's see if I can find it quickly. If not with you, then I'll do it with somebody else. Okay, I can't find it right now, but she's saying... I'll find it. That she says it with... That... The what? You have it there? Says, if not you, then someone else?
Do not persist so diligently in trying to dissuade me from joining you, don't offer me excuses to leave you, and not follow you, and to return to Judaism, for no matter what, I determined to convert.
Okay, so that's, I saw that elsewhere, but that's the same idea. That no matter what, I'm going to do it anyway. So if you tell me, it's going to be better.
Didn't that comment suggest that you should, no matter what you say or what you do, I'm going to convert anyway?
Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, we're left with this. When we're left with this, because when it says that Orpah shava el Eloheha, she returns to her ways of Avodah Zarah, a Jewish person, that's not returning. That's doing a bad thing. And kivin sheshava el Amo shava Eloheha, tzarechi mehechen yadumal b'leiv Orpah. How do we know that? How does Naomi know that? Because it's possible, right? There's another possibility here, which we haven't addressed, that she did convert. But coming to live in Israel is not going to be a picnic. We said last week, Naomi says to her, listen, the local fellas are not going to marry you. Their mothers are never going to let that. So you're never going to have a good life here. Go back. How does she know that she's going back to Avodah Zarah? How does she know that? HaKavona ki afi mato lo shav begol reo biko mokom shuzal ma tergum vasit shitoshim gam lo. The idea is that if you go back, sooner or later, you will end up go back to living the Avodah Zarah life. We don't know exactly, though, that she is going to go back and start living that kind of life. We don't know that. Right? All we know is that she's living to go back. Rus says, stop. Al tivgi bi lozveich lashuv me'achareich. Stop pushing me to leave. Stop pushing me to go. Lashuv me'achareich. Ki el asher telchi eilech. Wherever you go, I'm going. This is the most famous pasuk. If you ever think of, whither thou goest, I goeth. V'kasher talini alin, amech ami v'elukayich elukoy. Your God is my God. This is said to be a universal declaration. She is now saying to Naomi, I am accepting the God of Israel as my God. Whether I did it until now, whether I didn't do it till now, some of the farshim say that at that point on they started to learn Hilchos Gedus. Okay, she did it, she said it, she's made the commitment, now they went through all the specifics. But until that time, we don't know exactly what happened there. What was she telling her to do then? And it's still troublesome. No matter how we try to darshan this out, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow actually, but how we darshan this out, how does Naomi have the right to say to Orpah, go do Avodah Zarah? Suppose that she's not converted. Suppose she's not converted. She's allowed to tell anybody, go do Avodah Zarah. Right? Well, Avodah Zarah is forbidden to everybody. So
she may not have been encouraging her to do Avodah Zarah, but just maybe was stating to the Messias, go back as a divorced woman, as a divorced woman, a widow,
right,
to a Moabite environment. Chances are you'll fall into what the locals do. You don't have a Jewish family anymore to keep you on the straight path.
And therefore, was it right for her to keep pushing her to go back?
Well, there's a question on that. Unless you're just saying if you go back, never you will end up.
Right, but so she's right. She could go back. If the go back was a test to see if she was sincere, she failed. Orpah failed, Rus didn't. But now we've gotten to a situation, because isn't it mashma from what happened here, that after the second of the three attempts to have them leave, when she says, go back, you can't have any, you're not going to be able to have anything good, they said to her together, Vatomer la, ki itach na shuv lamech. What's your understanding? To me it's clear. What's your understanding of what would have happened if at that point Naomi said, okay, let's go. What would have happened? They would have gone with her. They would have gone with her. At that point, she says, it's not going to be good for you. No, we want to go with you. Okay, let's go. So she persists in pushing them away. She succeeds in sending Orpah back, ostensibly to a life of Avodah Zarah. So how is she led to do that? We'll pick that up tomorrow.
Last time that she